So the scripture that I've chosen for us today, I know is in our regular narrative lectionary, but I don't think it will be harmful. As Susie says, no souls will be lost, to explore it again. I have taken some editorial privileges with the order in which I read the scripture. Wanting to place the excoriation before the promise. So we'll have three slides of the scripture, and on we go. This is from the book of Micah, chapter 6, and we start with verses 9 through 12. The voice of the Lord cries to the city. It is sound wisdom to fear your name. Hear, O tribe and assembly of the city, can I forget the treasures of wickedness in the house? Sorry, folks, I just need to move my little picture so that I can see it. Can I forget the treasures of the wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is accursed? Can I tolerate wicked scales and a bag of dishonest weights? Your wealthy are full of violence. Your inhabitants speak lies with tongues of deceit in their mouths. Therefore, I have begun to strike you down, making you desolate because of your sins. You shall eat, but not be satisfied. And there shall be a gnawing hunger within you. You shall put away, but not save. And what you save, I will hand over to the sword. You shall sow, but not reap. You shall tread olives, but not anoint yourselves with oil. You shall tread grapes, but not drink wine. Therefore, I will make you a desolation, and your inhabitants an object of hissing. So shall you bear the scorn of my people. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams, with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Here ends the reading of this scripture. May God bless us with the wisdom of understanding. Joy Harjo ends her poem, "Then you must do this. Help the next person find their way through the dark." It seems to me that we are due a little Old Testament prophecy at this moment. Is it shocking that after thousands of years we have progressed so little? We who pride ourselves on living in the greatest country on earth. Not only that, but also the richest country on earth. A country founded to be a city on the hill and a beacon of hope. A country which assumes, at least for the past 75 years, if not somewhat longer in its own eyes, that what it does is right. That other countries and peoples should heed its example and change their ways to the right way. A country that believes itself to be exceptional. A country that is very much in the dark. I need not tell you of the vast hypocrisies of our beloved country, woven into its very fabric. How it founded itself upon ideals of equality while building itself through the labor of enslaved people and the genocide of its native peoples. How it called forth huddled masses only to consign them to ghettos and conscript them to die, building our railroads, farming our fields, extracting our minerals. And today, how it plumes itself on freedom while consigning those who are sick to bankruptcy and ruin, spends untold wealth on weapons while letting its cities fall into ruins and its children grow in ignorance. We can no longer hide from ourselves how corrupted our vision has become, how bankrupt our policies, how racked and indentured our citizens. America has become like the unhaunted Ebenezer Scrooge, sequestering its wealth, counting upon its prisons and its workhouses to manage those societal ills so that its own money can be kept for it alone. In the 8th century BCE, 8th century, by God, 759 to 687 to be precise, when Homer was writing the Odyssey, when England was a country of wheat farmers with hill forts, and when the Anasazi had yet to build their Pueblo cities, Micah prophesies in Israel. He is a younger contemporary of Isaiah, hailing from the small town in the southwest of Jerusalem called Morsheth Goth, for those of you who are going to be triumphant in your next biblical trivial game. He takes a look at what is going on in his own city on the hill and expresses disdain for the corruptions and pretensions of Jerusalem and its leaders. In the words of Walter Brueggemann, specifically, the prophet Micah accents the rapacious economic practices of the landed community that exploit the vulnerable and so violate the will of Yahweh for economic justice in the community. The affronts committed against Yahweh include aggressive land practices and exploitative policies that generate urban wealth at the expense of the vulnerable. As a consequence, the ones able and willing to enact systemic economic violence are the ones who become economically advantaged. Sounds familiar. Listen again as Micah excoriates our practices. Can I tolerate wicked scales and a bag of dishonest weights? He cries. And we think of racist policies and practices that have kept people of color from education, housing, jobs. We think of our tax laws that steal from our commonwealth to enrich the mighty. Your wealthy are full of violence, Micah avers. And we think of the protests calling for the defunding of the police so that people can live in peace with the community supports that they need. We think of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. We think of Rayshard Brooks and Ahmaud Arbery and a litany of those whose lives have ended too soon. Your inhabitants speak lies with the tongues of deceit in their mouths. And we are reminded of a white woman calling the police on an African-American bird watcher. We think of treaties broken with Native Americans. We think of the toll that all the lies told by the president and his administration are taking and are going to take on our understanding of what is right and what is wrong, with our integrity, with our ability to understand the meaning of the truth. And we despair. Therefore, I have begun to strike you down, making you desolate because of your sins. Where has our country gone? We ask ourselves. How can I have been asleep to this? The white father asks, as he observes his black neighbor go to dehumanizing lengths to demonstrate he is not a threat. You shall eat, but not be satisfied, and there shall be a gnawing hunger within you. Jesus tells us, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Indeed, there is a gnawing hunger within us. There it will remain, because this hunger needs to burn within us for as long as it takes to change our nation. We are making inroads now under the pressure of millions taking to the streets around the world. Will it be enough? You shall put away, but not save. And what you save, I will hand over to the sword. Alas. We all know that more than half of our federal discretionary spending per year goes to our military. For the fiscal year of 2019, according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, the amount we spent on defense and security-related activities was $697 billion. For the year. Indeed, it has come to pass. As we look at our food deserts and our failing infrastructure, our vast inequities in education, housing, and domestic tranquility, in the words of our Constitution, that we indeed shall sow but not reap, tread olives but not anoint ourselves with oil, tread grapes, but not drink wine. But Micah is not just a muckraker. He offers us a roadmap to hope in a single line that, as the Oxford Annotated points out, sums up a century of brilliant prophecy. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. We are not without solutions. Micah prompts us to come up with the answer ourselves with a rhetorical question. And what does the Lord require of you? Lest we have forgotten what Amos said in 5:24, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Or what Hosea said in 6:6, for I desire love and not sacrifice, and knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Or what Isaiah said in 1:16-17, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Micah follows his rhetorical question immediately with the same answer, to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. This is not a sequential list. We are required to undertake all of these things at the same time. To do justice and love kindness and walk humbly. To do any one of these things without the other is to fail. To do justice without loving kindness leads us to where we are today, with millions incarcerated and vast inhumanities and inequalities in our system. It is to enact justice for some, but not for all. The Bible has some very clear ideas about what doing justice entails. In my research for today, I typed in the Bible and social justice to my Google search and found page after page of references to Leviticus, to Proverbs, to Deuteronomy, to James, to Matthew, of course to Micah, to Amos, and to Isaiah. I suggest you do the same. It is inspirational. To love kindness alone is not enough, although it is more. We do love kindness, but we must also do justice so that the love of kindness can be meted out to all people. And to do justice and love kindness without humility is to create the polarized world that is tearing us apart with our virtue signaling and our blaming and our naming of enemies. We must do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God. Nothing less will do. So now, let us do this. Let us help the next person find their way through the dark. Amen. So now we leave this space of worship, and while so much of the road ahead is uncertain, the path constantly changing, we know some things that are as solid and sure as the ground beneath our feet and the sky above our heads. We know God is love. We know Christ's light endures. We know the Holy Spirit is there, found in the space between all things, closer to us than our next breath, binding us each to each other until we meet again. Go in peace.